It can be hard to know exactly what you're getting because you also have to mesh, like, together.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Carmen, an international board certified lactation consultant.
And I'm Ruth Green, an international full spectrum doula.
And this is the Having a Baby in China podcast.
As a reminder, this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. The views expressed here are the personal opinions of individuals and do not necessarily reflect any official stance or recommendation by Having a Baby in China.
Hey, Jacqueline.
Hey, Ruth.
It's great to see you.
It's good to see you.
So this week on the podcast, I wanted to talk about something that happened over the summer. So I noticed, of course, I know about this, but I want our listeners to hear about what happened. But your credentials changed, right? So you used to be Jacqueline Carmen, what was it, like LC or something?
CBC.
CBC, which stood for what?
A Certified Breastfeeding Counselor.
Okay. And now they are Jacqueline Carmen IBC LC. So tell us what that stands for.
Yeah. So IBCLC is an international board certified lactation consultant. So yeah, it can be a little bit complicated. And when you see all these letters and you're like, what does that mean? And what's the difference? Like, what is the difference between a certified breastfeeding counselor or a lactation consultant? Let's see, some of the other acronyms are certified lactation educator or certified lactation counselor, or a certified breastfeeding counselor, or just breastfeeding counselor, all these names. What is the difference? Yeah, yes. So that is a good question.
Yeah, and IBCLC is like a lot of letters. So I think almost at its simplest form is those first two letters, first three letters. So International Board Certified. So this is an organization, right, that's been kind of accredited internationally. So it's this international standard rather than like individual entities being like, hey, we've created this program and we're calling people who finish this a lactation consultant or whatever. So out of curiosity, do you happen to know who backs the IBCLC?
So the IBCLC gets their certification through the IBLCE, which is the International Board of Lactation Consultant Examiners. And this is recognized worldwide. And I can talk through a little bit about the qualifications to be able to even sit for the exam. But the exam is offered around the world in many different languages. And it's only offered certain times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to qualify to be able to sit for that exam, which is a 175 question exam. You're allotted 4 hours to take this exam. And then at the end, it takes actually several months to be able to get your results. And honestly, I don't really understand the process. But from what I understand is that because it's given around the world, and although I went and I took a digital form on a computer, they still offer some paper and pencil examination. So they need to gather all of the exams and grade them all kind of around the same time. And so then it takes several months to be able to get notification whether you passed or failed. But getting up to that exam, there's a lot of things that you need to do to be able to qualify to sit for that exam. So maybe we should first talk about these other letters, the lactation consultant or the breastfeeding counselor. So there are a lot of different letters because there are a lot of different entities. You know, each country kind of has their own thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there isn't necessarily a standardized, what does this lactation consultant know? It's like, I live in this country and I want to provide lactation support. So then I just decide, okay, this is what we should know.
Yeah.
So then it's just really kind of, it depends on how many hours they study or like what specific areas or even their approach on how to provide lactation support. Yeah, it just varies between organization to organization and country to country. So the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, you know that they're all held to the same standards.
Yeah. And I do want to point out that like I think that there's both a place for this kind of international standard, which is great. But this isn't to say that there aren't absolutely amazing lactation counselors or breastfeeding specialists or whatever. Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, we're going to talk about the process a little bit in a minute, but like it's a huge process to become an IBCLC. And so some people might not have it in their power, their resources, whatever, to actually fulfill all of the requirements to sit for the IBCLC exam.
Yeah.
And so it's great that there are these other organizations that provide alternatives. It's just a little bit harder as a mom to know what standard of care am I receiving. And this is also not to say that every single IBCLC is absolutely amazing. I'm sure that, you know, you can have somebody that has all of the book knowledge and not have the, like, you know, bedside care aspect or something too. So,
yeah, and totally, because you also have to mesh like together.
Yes.
You as the lactation person need to work well with your lactation consultant. So just like with doctors and psychologists and, you know, just trying to find the good fit, it's the same when you're finding lactation, you know, help. So searching, maybe, they have these letters that you're looking for, but you're just not feeling well cared for or heard, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's across the board. Mm-hmm. But when finding lactation support, when you don't have the IBCLC, it can be hard to know exactly what you're getting because you don't know how much training they have, how many hours or even in what capacity they are being trained in. And I think talking about China specifically, we live in China, so hence let's talk about like finding lactation consultants in China. There are a lot of people that say that they are lactation consultants or like a breastfeeding specialist who maybe they're like trained in like this breast massage and their training and their knowledge of actual breastfeeding and things are not going to be the same as someone who is certified as a lactation consultant or even as an IBCLC.
Well, I think that that's a really good point, especially because most of us, even myself, having lived here for so many years, my deep level language skills are still so lacking, right? I tell people I kind of live my life like understanding 80%, right? When something's going on in Chinese. And that 20% can be really, really important. So when you're talking about something specific like breastfeeding and you just go to somebody who's a breastfeeding specialist, most of us are not able to communicate at the deep level to really understand what they're saying, if what they're saying,
what kind of training they have.
Yes. Whereas if you go to a Chinese IBCLC, you know that at least they're supposed to have been held to the same standard as any other international board certified lactation consultant. So if they're saying this medication is safe or this treatment is recommended or whatever, hopefully they would be giving you the same advice that most IBCLCs would all around the world. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, like, you'll go to the hospital and they're like, oh yeah, you can see our lactation specialist. Or, you know, but really what they're the nurse that's dedicated to helping the breastfeeding, but they most likely, they themselves have never breastfed, which is not a requirement.
Yeah.
They also haven't had a lot of actual science classes in how to support breastfeeding scientifically or even emotionally.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of support, not just physical support, but there is a lot of emotional support that is needed when one is trying to breastfeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that also brings up a good point of, like, you mentioned that IBCLCs are given like a scientific training as well, not just this is how you latch your baby and breast milk is good and this is what, you know, day by day looks like, but actually kind of a deeper scientific understanding of the whole breastfeeding process. So can you tell us a little bit about what your training entails? In other words, it's not just experience, but what do you have to have in order to even start to think about taking the IBCLC exam?
So first, let me talk about lactation consultants or breastfeeding counselors. Okay. Let me just say, like, I'm not going to talk about the breastfeeding specialists that are here in China, because honestly, I don't know what kind of education they are getting and what kind of training they have.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak to other lactation programs that are around the world. Again, they vary in length, but generally you're going to find that they're going to know the physiology of lactation, so how it actually works in the body, the anatomy of the latch and the breast,
mm-hmm.
and how to establish lactation, and then some common challenges of lactation, how drugs and toxins work in the human milk, how to express human milk, and then they usually get some sort of counselor skills,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the work is communicating with someone. So you really need to build up those skills as well. And then there's also ethics and how to be a professional, and then how to encourage and support lactation in global activities. So this is generally what you're going to find with those other letters, the CBC and the LC. So it's great things.
Yes.
They're like, so
all of that is important stuff to know.
Well, then what is the IBCLC, mm-hmm. and how is it different? So the IBCLC kind of jumps off of that. They need to have 90 hours of lactation specific course.
Okay.
It will often include, so basically when I, on my pathway to becoming the IBCLC, I actually became a certified breastfeeding counselor first.
Okay.
So I got my 90 hours and then became a certified breastfeeding counselor. But then in addition, you had to have 1,000 clinical hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say clinical hours, you mean actually working with clients, right?
Right.
Okay. Yes. Opposed to studying in a book or talking to somebody who is an IBCLC, but it needs to be 1,000 hours working directly with clients.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So then you're getting that hands-on practice. And oftentimes mm-hmm. you do this under the supervision and support of another IBCLC
mm-hmm.
or an organization. Okay. In addition to that, this is the part that is different. So the IBCLC has to have completed 8 health science courses in a higher education institute. And typically these classes that are required are ones that are taken by nurses and doctors, midwives, or, you know, dentists, somebody in the medical field.
Okay.
I actually went into my undergraduate as a nursing student.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got my science classes.
Okay.
For that. But the IBCLC really makes it easy in a way for like doctors and nurses and midwives to become mm-hmm. IBCLCs because they have that science background and they already have those classes done. So then all they really need to do is the 90 specific lactation training course.
And the 1,000 hours of...
Yes. And so then also the 1,000 hours, which... Usually these doctors and nurses who are going in are already working with mm-hmm. lactating women. And so
it's pretty easy to get those 1,000 hours. Okay. So you're saying that these need to be like science specific courses. So when I was in university, correct. This isn't science, this is math, but I was an art major, but I had to have like this one math course and it was literally called the Introduction to Math for Non-Scientific Majors. Like it was like, it was so, so bad. It was really funny because I was also working in an elementary school at the time and I was tutoring 6th grade students in the same material that I was like learning at the university in this non-scientific majors math. So These classes that you're taking really need to be in classes that are intended for the medical community or the scientific community.
Right. So like some of the classes that are required are anatomy and physiology, psychology, child development. There's a statistics class
mm-hmm.
and being able to read research.
Yeah.
Not research papers, but actual like scientific research.
Yeah. Because it takes a lot of training. Like, I still struggle. I've never taken any of these classes. And as I'm reading research on even, you know, my area is pregnancy and birth and postpartum. But mm-hmm. as I'm reading research papers, it has all these different notations and numbers and all of that. And I'm constantly having to go and look up what do these terms mean. And, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that as a layperson, it's really easy to just look at something and assume it means something that it doesn't. And so having actual training in understanding research and notation and statistics and all of that, you know, what is statistically significant and what is not, right? It's not always easy to see as a layperson.
Correct. Yeah. In addition to those 8 health science courses mm-hmm. with that higher education level, then there's also 6 continuing education health science courses. And these ones are very specific, like CPR certified, mm-hmm. Basic life support, how to read and do medical documentation, mm-hmm. occupational safety, professional ethics courses. So you've got the 8 health science higher education courses and then the 6 continuing education health science courses. So those 2 are things that the doctors, nurses, and midwives, they've already done and completed. And that's mm-hmm. why it can be easy for them to jump into becoming the IBCLC.
So you have the 8 hours of science-specific classes and then mm-hmm. an additional 6 hours of health. What did you call them? Health?
So they call it health science courses. So okay. they're classes specifically on like medical terms and mm-hmm. like charting
again, things that support, doctors, like, nurses, people in the medical community have to know how to do. And I think that must be helpful then if you're talking with a doctor, if the IBCLC already knows how to chart and notate things in the same way that a doctor does, and that's going to help with communication within the system as well.
Right. And that's one advantage of having the IBCLC is because the IBCLC often will collaborate with your doctor. Mm-hmm. And so then, writing notes and being able to read what the doctor prescribed, that can be a benefit.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, the final thing that they need training is, this was a new one,
just
is a 5-hour communication skills, which I think is really important because, again, I've already stated, because of the learning how to listen to the client and what they're needing, and then also to be able to communicate well and make a plan together. Mm-hmm. Communication skills is huge in all medical fields.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that they did add it to the IBCLC requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you mentioned that every IBCLC has to have 90 hours of lactation-specific training. And mm-hmm. I remember that when we were talking with Dr. Layla last year, who's a board-certified pediatrician and also an IBCLC, that she said mm-hmm. something about standard doctor training in America, how many hours do they get if they're not an IBCLC? So just your regular mm-hmm. pediatrician, how many hours do they actually spend studying breastfeeding?
So I can't say specifically how many hours a doctor receives in lactation, but it is very minimal.
Yeah.
This is why the IBLCE requires this 90 hours lactation specific course.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that training.
Yeah.
They don't have this very in-depth knowledge of how lactation works and how to support it. So, yes, your doctor is very knowledgeable in your body and your health, but not this deep understanding of how to support and promote lactation.
Yeah. So I think that I've heard anywhere from like 1 to 5 hours, possibly, maybe mm-hmm. 10 hours. Maybe at like the max, I feel like a doctor is, from what I've been told, receives mm-hmm. in like breastfeeding medicine. And so whereas a IBCLC has 90 hours. So a lot of times when people will go to their doctor and they're struggling with breastfeeding, their doctor maybe only has like the basic level information. And if you're outside of that, then if they don't have either the additional training as an IBCLC or they don't have an IBCLC on staff that they can consult with, then their next step, like if baby's not meeting maybe growth goals or mom's, you know, mental state is not doing well or whatever the different complications are, then they might just be like, well, then just go to formula. Like that's the other tool in their bag. Whereas the IBCLC has an additional, you know, 80 plus hours of training and study to help be equipped to teach the mom and the baby.
And the additional 1,000 hours of working hands-on with
true. Good point. I mean, 1,000 hours is a lot of hours. That's like...
It is.
I can't even imagine. Yeah, that's a lot of hours. I mean, that would be like doing almost 3 hours a day, every day for a year with no breaks, which most people are not meeting with people unless you're in a situation where you're in a clinic seeing people over and over and over again or, you know, back to back. Most people aren't going to be in their study seeing that many different clients. So it's a long process.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right. So an IBCLC has all of this training, but they're not necessarily a nurse or a doctor. So what kind of support can they provide?
Yeah. So a lactation consultant or IBCLC can work with an individual or a breastfeeding dyad, so the mother and the baby or babies. And the IBCLC can actually start before you even have the baby. So there's part of the job is educating, you know, and preparing for lactation for when the baby arrives. So they can also give support to parents in establishing lactation and also when they face lactation troubles. They can also give support in the hospital, but also in the home. They can listen and hear your individual goals and come up with a plan to help you reach those goals. Maybe your goal isn't 100% breastfeeding. Maybe your goal is to only breastfeed for a short term. Maybe it's for I need to pump and work, or maybe it's a combination. The IBCLC can work with you and establish and set up a plan that helps you achieve your goal and whatever those goals are.
Yeah, I think I also want to point out that I think because they have all of this experience and training, they might also be able to help you figure out when breastfeeding is not going to work for you and help you then initiate formula feeding and know how to do that appropriately and the right measures. I think that, you know, a lot of times we hear lactation consultant and we think that it's only about breastfeeding, but I think really the ultimate goal of both mom and the IBCLC is that baby and mom are healthy and thriving and meeting their goals. And so they also can come in when maybe things aren't going the way that mom hoped. And help them transition to formula and give the mom the confidence that they did everything that they could. And they're continuing to do everything that they can to make sure baby is growing healthy.
Yeah, exactly. It is part of my job to be able to evaluate how the baby is doing and to say, oh, we need to, there's some intervention that needs to happen. And whatever that intervention is, you know, will be different on each individual case. And then also on the mother and what their goals are and what actually physiologically possible, and also evaluating and making, coming up with a plan that is actually something that is attainable both for the baby and the mom, because there's situations in both of those that maybe breastfeeding isn't going to work, or direct breastfeeding. So yes, also the IBCLC can evaluate and can refer a mother and a baby to a doctor when there's things that need to be further checked out. The IBCLC cannot diagnose things like thrush or tongue tie or
thyroid condition,
other medical. But we are trained to be able to recognize them and to say, hey, you know what? You need to go and get this checked out by your healthcare provider.
Yeah, that makes sense. So they just have a deeper understanding of what all of these conditions are, so they can recognize them and hopefully point the parent into the direction or towards support to get the support they need.
Again, the IBCLC is not one to diagnose and also does not prescribe medications.
Oh, okay.
That is not in our scope of practice. So I think a lot of certified breastfeeding counselors and the like, they are also, depending again on their training, can help support and recognize some things, but the IBCLC just has a deeper and more broader understanding and education in these different areas. So oftentimes, like it, you can start off with a breastfeeding counselor and that is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you may run into you need more help and mm-hmm. more specific. Then going to the next level would be then the IBCLC, going yeah. and seeing an IBCLC to get that further support and education.
And I would hope that a good CBE would be able to, CBC or CBE would be able to recognize like, okay, we've done what we can and have the resources mm-hmm. then to refer you to an IBCLC, right? Like,
and I personally did that too when mm-hmm, I was mm-hmm. working as a CBC, because there's different conditions where a mother actually can't produce enough milk.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is out of my scope. I think you need to reach out to the IBCLC. And I found one and suggested, why don't you go visit them? So yeah, there's definitely that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's kind of different levels. Like, again, we don't want to say that IBCLCs are the only thing that is out there, because there are all sorts of amazing people who support at all sorts of levels, and the work they do is super, super important. So bringing it back again to, we live in China. Where can someone find an IBCLC?
Yeah, this is actually really exciting. In the last few years, China, as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, mm-hmm. are really trying to encourage and support more breastfeeding, just because the science backs the health. And so China knows that. And so they're really trying to encourage that.
Yeah.
And so one way they're doing that is to really push nurses in hospitals to become certified, to become an IBCLC. Like I said, nurses are really, they're set up already because they have that science background. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, depending where they are working, they can get those hours of lactation support. So then they just have to apply and be able to take and sit for the exam and then pass. So there is a growing number, a large growing number of IBCLCs in China, and they are all over. So I think the first step is to ask at your hospital to see, do they have an IBCLC? Mm-hmm. Sometimes a hospital, the way things work here is they write it on their like brochure that they have it, but that IBCLC actually still doesn't work there. They, you know, they move to a different location.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible that they have someone there. So I think that would be your first step. But it also depends on your language level.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do offer the IBCLC exam in Chinese. Mm-hmm. So these women will most likely just speak Chinese. Mm-hmm. So it depends on your language level.
Yeah, because I happen to know that there is a IBCLC here in Qingdao. I mean, I think there's actually several, but there's one in particular who has lots of experience and she's so lovely. I've met her personally a couple times. But she only speaks Chinese, and so it is a little bit hard even for me to communicate with her.
Yeah. And then there's also the cultural background.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the same training, the background, but, you know, we each come to the table with our own cultural experiences and our own cultural lenses. And so the way we interact with clients or patients is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think going to a Chinese IBCLC will look different than going to one from your own home country.
Yeah, for sure. So then as far as like expat IBCLCs, do you happen to know how mm-hmm. many are here in China?
So currently in the year 2024, I only know of one other than myself. So two expat IBCLCs.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're both in the north, right? So
yes.
If you're listening to this podcast and you happen to know of another IBCLC, or if you know of a local who, you know, speaks fantastic English or other languages, right? Doesn't not all of our listeners only speak English? Please do reach out.
Yes. And I do know someone in Shanghai who's excellent English and really passionate for breastfeeding support.
Yeah, she has a lot of international experience too. Like she's worked with a lot of expats. Yeah. So but we're always working to build up our resource library and our connections and all that. So if you are listening and you happen to know of other IBCLCs or other just fantastic lactation consultants that, you know, you want us to be aware of, please private message and share that information with us for sure.
Yeah. And so if you are personally looking for an IBCLC, of course you can reach out. If you're in Tianjin, we could meet in person.
Yeah.
But there's also, I do online consultations as well.
Yeah. And you do a great job.
Also reach out to your, thank you. you can also reach out to your home country and see if there's an IBCLC that you could connect with online from your home country in your home language. So
yeah,
that's also a possibility. Of course, in-person lactation support is by far the best, but online support is still better than not having any support.
Yeah. I think one advantage to having online support in China versus outside of China is that someone within China is going to just have a deeper level of the cultural understanding of what's happening here in China.
For sure.
So a lot of times in any area, when I'm talking to somebody outside of China, they might give a recommendation or share something that I'm like, yeah, that's just really not realistic for where we live here. So,
yeah.
And on that note, I think the partnership between Jacqueline and I is like super unique and special because we work so closely together. So when somebody hires Jacqueline as a breastfeeding consultant, maybe in pregnancy, or maybe they're even just reaching out for support looking forward, then she connects with me on the pregnancy and birth and postpartum stuff. And when somebody's working with me as in pregnancy, birth and postpartum, then I have Jacqueline, you know, as a resource. We work very closely together. And we also offer a package where you can hire both of us. And so then you're getting seamless support like in all of the different areas. So we usually create like a group chat and both of us are on the same page like throughout the entire pregnancy, birth, and postpartum so that either of us can address whatever issue happens to be coming up.
Yeah. There is a lot of needed background information that the breastfeeding counselor needs. Because it is so tied, if there's things that happened in pregnancy, it can affect how breastfeeding will go, or especially in labor and delivery. How did the labor go? How did delivery go? It does impact how breastfeeding can go. So it's also very helpful for me to be able to be part of that journey through the beginning. But it's not, you know, required.
Yeah,
but
for
it is helpful. But yeah.
Okay. And it's super helpful to me because anytime something just starts to pop up, I can immediately check with Jacqueline and make sure that I'm not missing anything and be able to refer you over to her as soon as necessary. Yeah. Okay. So if you have any more questions or thoughts about the differences between different lactation consultants, counselors, breastfeeding educators, IBCLCs, all of that, feel free to write in any point. We love to hear from you. And don't forget to share, subscribe, like, comment. Oh, I wanted, we had actually, I feel bad I didn't do this sooner because we did actually have a review left on Apple Podcasts.
Oh.
Jacqueline, do you want to read that for us?
Yeah, this comment was left by Jetty Yaris. Y'all, the Having a Baby in China podcast is like sitting down for a cozy chat with your best friend, Jacqueline Carmen and Ruth Green. These gals, certified in all things baby-related, spill the beans on pregnancy and parenthood in the People's Republic of China. From bump to baby and beyond, they share real stories and savvy advice picked up during all their own adventures and years supporting international couples. It's like a heart-to-heart with good friends, making it the go-to guide for anyone expecting or raising kiddos in the Middle Kingdom. Grab a cuppa and tune in for some down-home wisdom. Thanks.
Yeah, what a sweet comment. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that is what we really hope, is that y'all do feel like comfortable and that we're sharing pertinent information. And if you ever have any questions or thoughts, like, we are happy to talk with you more. So please continue to reach out and PM and everything else. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, Jacqueline, until next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Now I suddenly am saying y'all. Yeah. That you all.
Because they usually collaborate. Is that the right word?
Collaborate.
Collaborate.
No, collaborate. Collaborate. Collaborate.
Collaborate.